The scripture reading this morning is taken again from 1 Peter as we conclude this series on 1 Peter. I'm going to read the verses 6 through the end of the chapter of 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And this is the text. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. So far the reading of this blessed word of God. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, this is great encouragement. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. We thank you, Lord, for this worship service this morning. Bless us. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Peter is writing to people who have experienced and are experiencing tremendous persecution. He says at the beginning of this book, 1 Peter, to the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are people that are displaced. They're refugees. They're in trouble. They're living in a situation where the worship of the true God is illegal. They are living in difficult times, unbelievably difficult. There's a book entitled Fox's Book of the Martyrs. It's a book which chronicles the persecution that Christians have faced over the centuries. It's blood-curdling. It's terrible what people did to other people because, not because they were bad, but because they worshiped the Lord, because they followed Jesus. It's unbelievable what human beings did to other human beings. It defies imagination what is done to persecute people. It is really terrible. Well, these people that Peter was writing to were in that kind of situation. Really difficult. They didn't know what they were going to live for the next year, the next month, or even the next day. Life was horrible. We don't know what that's like. We live in a wonderful country. We live in a country that has paid a great price for the freedom we enjoy. And we always have to be thankful for that. But it's not that way with everyone, and it hasn't been that way with everyone over the centuries. And Peter is writing to people who really, really were in difficulty. And he's writing to them, and he's trying to encourage them. Now, you know how people try to encourage one another today? Well, they say, have a good day. Have a good day. Or good luck. Or have a nice time. Now, that kind of encouragement is very, very shallow. It's very shallow. It doesn't really touch the need of people. Put yourself in the place of a nurse who is working in a hospice facility. She's working in a hospice facility. And you know what it is. It's only for those who are terminally ill and who only have a few days, maybe hours or weeks or at most months to live. And this nurse has to care for them, has to bring food to them and drink and take care of their needs. Okay, put yourself in her place. How are you going to encourage those people? How are you going to encourage a person who you know isn't going to be here long? Maybe who has tremendous pain. How are you going to encourage them? Can you say, well, good luck? That's not going to do anything. How about if you say as you leave their room, have a good day? That's not going to do much either. How are you going to really encourage someone who is in trouble? Who's facing death? And a painful death. How are you going to encourage them? Are you going to say something superficial? Or are you going to deal with something that really meets their need? Well, the Apostle Peter is writing to people who were in that situation. They were facing the ultimate in human tragedy. They were facing the fact that because of their convictions, because of who they were, because of whom they loved, they were facing cruelty, death, all kinds of trouble. What are you going to say to them? What does Peter say to them? The way he begins his book and the way he ends his book is basically the same wonderful message. How he begins his book is this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you, who are guarded by faith unto that great redemption ready to be revealed in the last times. Let me tell you something that's a whole lot better than saying, have a good day. That's a whole lot better than saying, I wish you well. That's a whole lot better than saying, good luck. This is encouragement that really meets the need of the heart. And it says, that encouragement is this, don't worry, the Lord is on your side. And he has overcome death. He has defeated the greatest enemy of all, which is death and Satan and hell. He's defeated it. And he's given unto us an inheritance that is ours. And he himself will see you through. He will see you through. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with my right hand. Now that's encouragement. That's real encouragement. That's how Peter begins his letter. And how he ends his letter is this. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. To him be the glory forever and ever. That's encouragement. That's real encouragement. That really meets our deepest need. He says, after you've suffered a little while, it's suffering, but it's only a little while. It's not going to go on and on and on and on and on. No, no, no. It's a little while. It's a little while. Don't worry. The Lord has got your back. The Lord is with you. He's not going to let you out on a limb alone. He will hold you fast in his hand. I'm so happy for the choir's song today. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior. So precious thou art. Is he precious to you? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you know that this God is our God forever and ever? He will be our guide to the very end. He will never leave us, never forsake us. And the suffering that we have, the difficulties we have, are only for a little while. That's what he's saying to the people there, and that's what I'm saying to you too from the Word of God. The Lord is on our side. He has your back. He's got you in his hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. Nothing in this life or in persecution or famine or whatever problem can come into your life, nothing will ever separate you from Jesus Christ. Nothing. He is with us all the way to the end. And he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace. That's who he is. He's the God of all grace. You know what grace is? Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's God's favor. It's God's love for us. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done, in spite of our sin and our weakness and our frailty and all the troubles, in spite of it all, God's there. He is there. That's grace. No matter what happens, his grace is there. Always the God of all grace. And he has called you to his eternal glory. Do you know what that means? That means he knows you. He knows you. He knew you before you were born. He is acquainted with all of our griefs and sorrows. He knows us through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's the God of all grace, and he's called you. He has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. He's got your name written upon the breastplate of his heart. He has us in his grip. He loves us with an everlasting love. That's encouragement. That's real encouragement. He's called us to his eternal glory. Now, the Apostle Peter makes a contrast between suffering a little while and an eternal glory. A little while is a very short time in comparison to an eternal glory that never fades, never vanishes. It's always there. It can never spoil or fade. It's eternal glory. And he's called us to that. And he's called us personally. He knows your name. And he says, this is your destiny. This is your destiny. Now that's encouragement. That's encouragement. Do you know that grace of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own Savior and Lord? Is your life in conformity to him? The Apostle Peter is saying, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore you. He will restore you. That word restore is very interesting. It's used in the Bible in three different settings. The first setting is fishing. And it's fishing with a net. Not with a hook, but with a net. That's how they fished in those days. And the word restore is used to describe the repairing of a net. A net that's broke isn't going to hold anything. But a net has to be restored, has to be repaired so that it'll catch the fish that are in the net. That's the first word. The Lord, the God of all grace, who called you his eternal glory, he will restore you. He will repair your broken net. He will repair your broken life. The second setting of that word restore is in the area of medicine. If a person breaks a leg, breaks an arm, breaks any bone, the word restore is putting it back together, setting the bone. That word is used for that too. The Lord will set you straight. Is that going to cause pain? Yes, it's going to cause pain. Have you ever had a broken bone and the doctor had to set it? Let me tell you something that's really painful. I remember I broke a bone in my hand. I was catching baseball. I was the catcher. And I got too close to the batter. And the batter swung his bat and hit my hand and broke that bone. And I had to go to the doctor, and the doctor had to pull it apart and set it together, and that was painful. Okay, that's the word restore. The second use of it. First was mending a net. The second is restoring a bone, setting a bone. Now the Lord does that too. What does that mean? That means that there's something broken in our lives. There's something out of joint. There's something that ain't right. I knew a friend of mine who broke his arm, and it was never set right. All through life until he finally died, he had a lame arm, and that arm was always in a sling. It was never set right. The Lord says, the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, he'll set your life straight. He'll set it straight. He'll restore it. He'll restore your life. Because actually right now it's not the way it ought to be. It's not the way it ought to be. He will restore it, but it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful. Don't kid yourself. If you've got a broken bone, it's going to be painful to have that set right. But as that old saying goes, no pain, no gain. You're going to have to go through the pain to have that bone set right. That's the word restore here. The God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. He'll mend your net. He'll mend your life, and he'll restore your broken bone. And the third scenario, the first was fishing, the second medicine, the third is human relationships. Restore that. If there's conflict between husband or wife, between parents, children, between in-laws, parents, you name it, wherever there's conflict in human relations, the Lord will set it straight. And that too may be painful. There may be apologies that are necessary. There may be some hard times in which you have to eat some real humble pie and say, I was wrong. You do that in order that there may be a restoring of a relationship. And you know how all of this happens? It's through Christ. He mends the net. He sets the bone. He sets the relationship together in peace and harmony. That's encouragement. My God, says Peter, my God, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal inheritance in Christ, he himself will restore you. He'll mend the net, set the bones, set your relationship in harmony. He will confirm you, strengthen you, establish you. There's a crescendo in those words. Restore, confirm. He'll assure you of this. He'll confirm it. You know how wonderful it is to have something confirmed. You've got a ticket for the airplane and you want it confirmed. You want to make sure that you're on the right track, you're on the right place. And you get a confirmation. Maybe you got a confirmation number. And you know it's set. That's what he says here. He will restore you, he will set it. He'll confirm it. He'll strengthen you. He will establish you. What an encouragement that is. That's a whole lot better than saying have a good day, or I wish you well, or good luck. This is something that's really substantial. This is solid, not only in this life, but for all eternity. He's never going to let you down. He'll hold you fast in his grip. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that my Redeemer liveth, says Job. Talk about someone who needed some encouragement. There was Job. He says, I know whom I have believed. That my God shall supply all my needs. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4. He's in jail. He doesn't know for sure whether he's going to get out alive or not. But he says, I know that he, my God, my Savior, is able to keep me from stumbling. He's able to keep me sure and safe and strong. He's able. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. Does this all make sense to you? Do you have that? Do you know your Redeemer lives and that he loves you? And that he will restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you? You know why he can do all this? Because he's our Savior. And not only is he our Savior, he's our Lord. To him be the dominion forever and ever. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He has complete dominion, complete control, complete power to do all of that forever and ever. Now that's encouragement. That's encouragement that will never fade away. That's a whole lot better than saying good luck. Whole lot better than saying have a good day. Whole lot better than saying don't worry. This is something that really meets the need for this life and for all eternity. And everyone said, Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. What an encouragement you give us, O Lord. What an encouragement. We stand upon this solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. He is stronger than granite. He is everything we ever need for this life and for all eternity. Oh Lord, bless us this day. Thank thee, Lord, for the power of the gospel, that it's the truth, that we stand upon it. In Christ, we live and move and have our being. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.